Welcome back. You're listening to The Gyno Show here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Twyla Day.
I'm Dr. Eric Hegard. And, well, Twyla, this is kind of your show here. Why don't you take it?
Well, indeed. We have on the line Jill Johnson, who is the chairwoman for the 2015 Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jill, we've talked a little bit before the break about the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame, but I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about the event and how it started.
Well, the event itself this year is being held on Thursday, April 9th at Cargill's World Headquarters, and we're very fortunate to have sponsors like Cargill and a variety of other corporations and business owners to support the Hall of Fame. It was started 3 years ago by the Minnesota chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners as a way to recognize the historical achievements of Minnesota's women entrepreneurs and the advocates for women's entrepreneurship over the last 150 years of Minnesota history.
Now, tell us a little bit about how the nominees, how the inductees are chosen.
Well, it's not an award that you can be nominated for. That's one of the things that makes this honor so different. It really requires that the prospect has emerged through the force of her accomplishments and through the significance of the things that she's been involved in over her career and lifetime of her business that really met three criteria. They were impactful, they were enduring, and they were significant. And so as part of that, because we didn't want it to be a popularity contest, sometimes whoever writes the best award submission is the one who gets the award. And it was very important when the Hall of Fame was set up that it be really about women who were transcendent. And so looking back, we identified a pool of women that were being initially considered. Excuse me. And those women were women who had won either the NABO Woman Business Owner of the Year Award, which is, again, the Minnesota chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners, or one of the Lifetime Achievement Awards from the organization. But then they could emerge in a variety of other ways. In particular, we were looking for women who had been inducted into the Minnesota Business Hall of Fame. There are a handful of women who have attained that honor, women entrepreneurs. We were looking for women who have been awarded major industry recognition from the industries that they're actively involved in, or they've been identified as women that have qualified for admission to groups like what's a group called C200, which are some of the most successful women in the business owners in the world, and it's an invitation-only organization where you have to meet very significant revenue criterion in order to be considered. And so the initial criterion with using that, there were about 120 women who met one or more of those major criterion, and then we have done hundreds of hours of additional research on them to vet their backgrounds, to learn more about their accomplishments, to learn about their commitment to the community. And then the selection committee has, in each of the last 3 years, spent time in working in conjunction with the U.S. Small Business Administration, because the SBA awards are also another way that they could be emerging into the pool. Mm-hmm. And so we had this very unique opportunity to really look at those backgrounds and then talk about the contributions that they've made, and then looking at their historical connection and achievement. And so there were really a pretty in-depth approach that was done to review and to vet these women.
Absolutely. Now, this year's Hall of Fame has 8 inductees, correct?
Yes, 8. And altogether, this now makes 45 women who have been inducted over the last 3 years. We did a few more in the first year to catch up for not having done it prior to that. And the 8 women this year represent over 100 years of Minnesota history.
That's amazing. We should talk a little bit about some of the inductees, because I think our listeners will definitely recognize some of the names. One of the first names that popped up was Leanne Chin.
Yes. the incomparable Leanne Shin, and it was my great privilege as a young business owner to have gotten to know her. She was a member of the NABO chapter in Minnesota back in the 80s and 90s, and was generous in coming to different events. She was born in China in 1933, and her parents, interestingly enough, owned a grocery store, and so she would work there with her father, and he gave her great insight on working and owning a business. And then she had an aunt who convinced her parents to allow her to go to high school to study accounting, which was extremely unusual in that era, especially in China. Mm-hmm. But times were difficult in that part of the world. And after she married Tony Chin, she moved to the Twin Cities in 1956 when they fled after the communists came into power. And while she was, a stay-at-home mom with five kids, she was taking in sewing. And when her guests and clients would come over, she would make a little series of hors d'oeuvres and food bits for them. And people kept saying, you need to show us how to do it. And through the course of that, she decided that maybe she should start a restaurant because there was no high-end upscale Chinese restaurant in the Twin Cities. And so her original business, we know her today for the fast food operations that Leanne Shin has, but in the early days it was a fine dining establishment for Chinese food. Sean Connery became the actor, the famous Academy Award-winning actor, became mm-hmm. an early investor in her company, and then she received financing from the U.S. Small Business Administration and was an immediate hit. And by the time she turned over the reins of leadership and sold the company, they had revenues of over $40 million, about 1,200 employees, and at least 33 locations.
God, what a great story.
All in Minnesota. Isn't that amazing?
They did some expansion for a while, but I believe most of those were within the Minnesota area. And the company has continued to expand, but it's an amazing story. And for to keep in context for your listeners, only about 3% of women-owned businesses ever top the $1 million mark today. And Leanne hit those revenues back in the 90s and early 2000s. I mean, it was really an astonishing level of accomplishment. And only about 5 to 6% of all small business owners, male and female, ever topped the $1 million mark. So she was a woman way ahead of her time. But, clearly her savvy with numbers and her ability and learning how to provide customer service that she learned as a child really all came to fruition for her.
It's a remarkable story.
Oh, she's amazing. She was truly an amazing woman.
Yes, it's a remarkable story. Now, there are other inductees on the list. We should point out that some of the inductees are current living women who are alive today who have made this impact and maybe can still continue to work with their businesses. But you also have posthumous inductees like Leanne Shin and Marie O'Brien Slawick.
Oh, Marie. Well, she's another amazing posthumous induction. She was born in 1905 and very humble upbringing. And her mother had a small wedding cake business. But she, really learned the basics of business, and she joined a company as the vice president of Slawick Motors in 1938, and was just a dynamo in going in and using her financial savvy to finance the company, reorganize the corporate structure, diversify the real estate holdings for the owner, Harold Slawick. And in 1940, she married Harold Slawick. And they continued through the 1940s and 50s. And Marie was a force of nature that really led the company into a very rapid acquisition of a variety of real estate and diversified and ran the Ford dealership that they had. And then in that era, she twice battled and beat cancer, which, back in the 50s, you're talking about a pretty difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. But then in 1958, she suffered the heartbreaking loss of her 12-year-old son in a freak boating accident on the St. Croix River. And, you know, for most people, that would be enough to just shut you down completely. But Marie was a truly resilient woman, and she set up scholarship funds in Skipper's name that are still today providing educational opportunities for young people in the Twin Cities areas and paying their tuition for their education. And then by the time she and Harold were building what is now known as Harmar Mall in the early 1960s, Harold died suddenly. So here this woman who's twice battled cancer and just lost a son has now her husband and life and business partner. And she was getting pressure from Ford to relinquish the dealership because at that time they believed that women couldn't handle running a business. And so their policy was that women, widows, had to relinquish control within 1 year or liquidate the company. And Marie became the first woman to run a Ford dealership in Minnesota, and she successfully completed the building and launching of Harmar Mall. She also founded Roseville State Bank. She was extremely significant to the community, both in terms of her philanthropy and her community efforts. By the time she was inducted into the Minnesota Business Hall of Fame in 1985, and by the time she died in 1989, Harmar Incorporated had 9 businesses, over 250 employees, and revenues of almost $64 million a year in 1989.
That's fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was a force of nature. Her grandson, Brian, still runs the real estate business, so they've been in business something like, 70 years or something like that now. I mean, just a phenomenal businesswoman who passed on her business legacy and her business acumen. And as I said earlier, through the foundations that she set up, is still touching people in our community all these years later.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the women that are being inducted this year. We're going to take a short break. Joe, we'll have you hold on with us. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this year's 2015 inductees for the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame. You're listening to The Gano Show here on My Talk 107.1.
Honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I gotta bid you adieu.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Gano Show here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Twyla Dang.
And I'm Dr. Eric Heegard, and we are having a great conversation about the National Association of Women's Business Owners.
That's right. We're talking about this year's Hall of Fame event. It is going to come up on April 9th, and we have Jill Johnson, the chairwoman, on the phone. Thanks, Jill, for sticking with us through the break.
Glad to be back.
Now, we have to talk about something that I am not a native Minnesotan, so I did not know that this product originated here, but my love of the Bundt Pan in particular gives this woman a special place in my heart, Dorothy Stogard Delquist.
Oh, Dorothy Delquist, what an amazing story. As a 21-year-old new bride back in the mid-1940s, she and her husband, who had just returned home from World War II, started a business that today we know as Nordic Ware. It is one of the largest and oldest companies in St. Louis Park. It has produced the Bundt Pan, the Rosetta Iron, and just a variety of innovative products that today are shown in all around the world. And she authored numerous cookbooks, managed finances, raised 4 kids. But she also developed all the recipes that made the Bundt Pan relevant to the world. She wowed the Pillsbury executives with her recipes that resulted in an extremely long-standing partnership with Pillsbury and then later General Mills to mass-produce Bundt cake mixes. And the product was such an iconic product that it is now featured in the permanent display of the Smithsonian Institution's Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. They've got over 500 employees and 350 products that they sell in 25 countries. And
a
small-town girl pretty much made a big impact.
Jill, can I ask you a question? This is a profound question.
Yeah.
Why is it called a Bundt Pan? And what is, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I like to cook, but I don't bake, okay? I'm just letting it out.
What is
a Bundt Pan, and how is it different than other similarly shaped pans?
It's an iron pan, and I'm exhausting my depths of insight. I don't cook, So I always love when we have the women who created it, Teach America How to Cook Like Dorothy. But it was an innovative pan. It has a very unique shape to it, and it's different in terms of the height in which a cake can be baked.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's the height, and it's that in the circle in the center that allows it for uniform cooking at a faster rate. I told you I'm about a bundt pan.
There you go.
Oh, really?
I only like them if I can find them at a garage sale. I don't buy the new ones are great.
They're not the ones that have the cone in the middle that lift up. Oh,
yeah, and that really? Like there's
that's them, a bundt pan.
Well, no, it's the one that it's the one that actually is in the shape, and the cone is permanent. You don't just lift it out; it stays that way.
It's an iconic product that has transformed how America cooks for over 70 years, and it wouldn't be understood if it hadn't been for Dorothy's business insights and arranging the photography and demonstrating how the pans could be used, because at the time, as America was coming into the forefront in the 1950s and 60s, people didn't know exactly what to do with something like that, and so they created that. They also were among the first to use Teflon in cookware, which today we take totally for granted, and so she and her husband were truly iconic business leaders. He was recognized and inducted into the Minnesota Business Hall of Fame, but Dorothy's contributions and recognition of the significant efforts that she made in the business have not been recognized up until now, and so we're very excited that she's going to be able to join us with her family at the Hall of Fame induction.
Now, Jill, that I feel like that's a really significant point to make, the idea that a lot of these women who made such a strong and important impact, because they made the impact sort of with their families or with their spouses in particular, don't always get that recognition. They don't always get that opportunity to sort of stand at the top and be recognized for the work that they do. Talk a little bit about that in terms of how significant the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame has become.
Well, and that really has been, I think, one of the greatest parts about the women, the historical women who have been inducted, because in the era when you think about it, I mean, up until 1988-89, women couldn't even get business loans in their own names. And we have women who were inducted into the Hall of Fame who were instrumental in helping to shape the federal law that was passed to change that. And so when you look at the historical context of the societal norms and the gender biases and the barriers that many of these women faced, if they were part of a family-owned business, they often were their contributions were not recognized. It was very easy to set them off as to the side as just the little woman or the wife of. But we have a number of women who've been inducted over the last several years who actually took over the business after their husbands died, only to discover that the businesses were on the verge of bankruptcy. And these women marshaled their financial savvy, their business acumen, and their absolute steel backbone, and turned those businesses around and created multi-million dollar enterprises that became iconic in their industry, whether it was Ethel Arnold in the sausage company that she took over after her husband died, or Ebba Hoffman from Smead Manufacturing. And there were a number of women who really transcended those gender roles, if you will, and really were transformative. But that's another part of the reason why the Hall of Fame and the National Association of Women Business Owners chapter in Minnesota felt it was time to begin to honor the historical contributions of these amazing women, because it's really about telling the stories. And as women, that's what we often do best, in sharing our history and recognition of these accomplishments of women who, for many of them, were never honored in their era. And now they and their families have an opportunity to revisit the magnitude of their success and look at it in a historical context and better understand how truly special these women were. You know, it's interesting, too, Twyla. I just have a little statistic I want to share with you. Mm-hmm. If we pull out Marilyn Carlson Nelson, because Carlson Companies is such a large enterprise, but just look at the other 44 women, they had peak revenues of $1.8 billion. Let me say that again, $1.8 billion. Mm-hmm. And they employed nearly 19,000 people. And that's excluding Marilyn Carlson Nelson. And the women who own banks and venture capital provided about $1.3 billion worth of financing. These are women who collectively transformed our state and built things and employed people and created an economic legacy that really has been transcendent.
That's such a remarkable legacy for Minnesota to have. And I'm really glad we have the opportunity to not only share this, but to celebrate these women. Jill, thank you so much for calling in and talking to us tonight. We should let everyone know the Hall of Fame is on April 9th. It is out at Cargill's World Headquarters. And there are actually like a very, very few tickets available.
It's a handful of tickets left.
Yes, there are.
So anybody could go?
Absolutely. Yes, you can go. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're going to put a link up at, if you go to mytalk1071.com, put keyword gyno, you will see a link to the Minnesota Women Business Owners Hall of Fame, and you can get ticket information. You can get information about this year's inductees and the previous 2 years inductees as well, which, full disclosure, Jill Johnson is among them and has just been very modest and hasn't said so. So thank you so much, Jill, for your time. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I love telling their stories. These are an amazing group of women.
Well, thank you. It's going to be an amazing night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Twyla. Bye-bye now.